Hello everyone, welcome back to the Styles UK YouTube channel, Facebook page, Instagram page, whatever platform you are watching on. This week I am super thrilled to have Dave Connor with us from Transfer Express for this week's live. Say hi to the people, Dave.
Hello everybody out there, and I am super thrilled to be here.
Good, I'm glad. So Dave literally arrived in the UK yesterday, day before yesterday. It's been a very, very busy couple of days, but we are here, we are ready, we're prepped for PMP, which kicks off on Sunday. So for those of you that haven't seen any of our posts about PMP, which I find that very difficult to believe because there's been a lot of them, Dave is joining us for Print Room Promotion Live, which is happening on Sunday. So super excited for that. But for those people watching that may not know who you are, which again, I find that hard to believe, do you want to give them a little bit of a rundown of who you are, what you do, and how you'll be relevant at PMP from the print industry?
Absolutely. So my name's Dave. And it's nice to meet everybody out there in the internet land. But I have been in the apparel decorating industry for 14 years now, ever since I first learned to screen print, pulling a squeegee on my kitchen table, essentially, and spraying screens out in the bathtub. The girl I was dating at the time is now my wife. So obviously I did something right. But I have learned the hard way, and I've made a lot of mistakes along the way. And from screen printing on my kitchen table to working through art and design and marketing through several different print shops now, from smaller businesses all the way to large 150,000 square feet, like printing facilities. And then I made my way to Styles, and it really opened my eyes to heat applied decoration, mm-hmm. because it simplified everything. And I kind of saw my entire journey with apparel decoration in a completely different light, because had I known that I could get the same kind of quality with a plastisol transfer, it took me 3 weeks to originally get a print I felt comfortable just selling for my band. So it was a lot of work. It was a lot of emulsions that I burned through, different inks, learning about the squeegees and the different durometers. And then, oh, this one is not the right squeegee for what I want to do. I need different screen mesh. So it was a complicated learning curve. And back then there wasn't education or YouTube like there is now, mm-hmm. to really learn how to do it. So I was reading blogs and forums and, you know, the little DVDs that you used to have to be able to, like, okay, this is how you do it. And I started with a kit, but I learned that kit wasn't good enough for what I was looking to do. Mm-hmm. So I invested way more than I would have ever spent on a heat press, to essentially spend 3 weeks of tearing my hair out to be able to print. So when I first used a heat press, to print a plastisol transfer, I thought my entire life is a lie. Like, this is absolutely insane how easy it is and the quality of the print that you could get. So I've dove in headfirst over the past 3 years of being with Styles to educate and just show decorators, whether you are a home-based business, you're just getting started, that you could easily have quality apparel that you could sell to your customers or use for your own brand. And just with all of my experience and the mistakes I've made, I am so thrilled that I'm in a position where I get to share those, even though sometimes it may, you know, in hindsight, make me look bad of like, wow, I can't believe you made those mistakes. But yes, but I want to help anybody out there not make the mistakes that I did and ultimately be successful and be profitable and reach the goals that you want to as a business, because we know that all, you know, success looks different to so many different people. And yeah, being dedicated to helping you grow your business and thrive is the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life.
So Dave, if you haven't already gathered from that, Dave is probably one of the most valuable minds in heat applied decoration. So make sure if you are watching today, we are going to do a Q&A session very shortly. So get your questions in for Dave, because if you're coming to PMP, hopefully you'll have the chance to come and speak to Dave if he's worked his way through the queue of people that are coming to meet him already. But if you're not coming to the show, this will be one of your only chances anytime soon to get your questions in for Dave. So make sure you comment down below on whatever platform you're watching on, and we'll work our way through those as we go through today's video. So the next thing I wanted to touch on was, of course, the Printwear and Promotion live show that we are traveling up to tomorrow, kicks off on Sunday. It's a three-day-long show. It's the biggest UK trade show that we have throughout the year. And we know that we are going to see a lot of our customers there, hopefully a lot of new customers as well. But I think trade shows is one of those things where if you are new to the industry, it can be very overwhelming to walk in that door and see all of the different brands, all of the different stands, not really know where to go, what to look for. So in your experience of trade shows, and you have done a lot more of them because there are more in the US, which we're very jealous of, but we'll touch on that later. You've got a lot of experience with trade shows. So from your experience of talking to customers new and growing from, you know, startup to printing hundreds of thousands of shirts a year, what would you say the top reasons are to come to a trade show? Like, why should someone attend if they're unsure?
Ooh, it's going to be hard to narrow it down to top, but I think I could probably do it.
I mean, we have time, Dave. You can go if you want to go.
There are a ton of different reasons, but just to see, especially if you're just getting started, to see which decoration method or equipment makes sense for you, because everybody there is mostly a salesperson who's going to try to sell you something and they want you to purchase their product. So you get a really good pitch, but it is one of the only times that you actually get to get hands-on with the equipment, especially with like heat presses, to be able to go in and see the difference between different models or the capabilities even from brand to brand. Mm-hmm. You see those. The education is paramount in almost any show, especially if you, I mean, I just talked about how it took me so long to learn how to do a process that essentially you could sit in on a half an hour or 45 minute class and have all of that knowledge from somebody who's done it, you know, for 10 plus years and be able to absorb that knowledge, ask them the direct questions of like how maybe you might implement something. And everybody is super willing to be able to help. So not only do you see the products, you get the education, but one of my favorite parts is talking to other decorators. There isn't many chances that I get, I mean, being with stalls and being with a great community of like passionate people that work here all over the world, here in the UK, in the United States, and even in other places in Europe. But everybody who's so passionate about it and has their own experience and shares with each other, there's really not a lot of gatekeeping that you see with like other decorators just like you. You get to nerd out about processes and kind of network a little bit to maybe build up your capabilities or plan your future if you are even an established decorator to say, oh, I've seen you guys on Instagram. I see what you're doing. How did you implement that? And more times than not, they are more than willing to be able to help out and share information to help your business grow. So, and of course, like, I love talking really nerdy about print, and we could do it here. We've been doing it over the past several days, but I know like, you know, outside of work, I don't necessarily get the chance. And for solo entrepreneurs or small businesses, you don't get the chance to really get nerdy about print. And in at these shows, you know, I can talk to my wife for only so long until she's like, all right, stop talking about t-shirts, Dave. But being able to come and like share that passion with other people could really just help expand the way that you think about your own business or maybe the solutions even that you offer.
Yeah, I think that's such true. That's such a good point. Andy and I always say that when it comes to the YouTube content we create, the podcast, you know, coming in here to the Innovation Center, there's only so much friends and family are willing to listen to, and being able to be in a room surrounded by that community of decorators for that period of time is just fun. And I think everybody can sort of relax and be like, I could talk about this all day long and no one's going to care. So it is a fantastic opportunity to just come and talk all things print. And we are, of course, going to have some new things on the stand this year that we're going to be demoing. Do you want to reveal the big one that everyone's very excited about?
The big one I've been fortunate enough to get hands-on with at two previous engagements. And I cannot wait till I get one that I could, you know,
actually
work
use
with
every single day.
But that is the Hotronics ProPlace IQ. So it is essentially eliminating one of the largest, I think, challenges to apparel decorators, and that is print placement. I've done a lot of education and content revolving around print placement. It was something that I struggled with early on, even when I was, you know, learning how to screen print. And now learning that process and all of the technicalities of it is really eliminated with utilizing a heat press, and especially with the rise of direct-to-film transfers. But the goal as apparel decorators is to make, you know, apparel that we want to wear. And I have so many shirts that have like a belly placement, you know?
Oh,
and
we've all done that. We've all been there.
Yes, I've printed my fair share of belly prints too. But
do you wear the belly prints? That's the question.
Exactly. I'll wear them around the house to do maybe some painting or something.
You're like, I don't care if I have to bin this shirt kind of thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the placement is so important to printing a t-shirt that people actually want to wear. And the ProPlace essentially eliminates that, especially here in like the climate where the labor market for skilled labor, especially with other decorating techniques, is a long learning curve. You could essentially bring anybody in or learn how to print high quality apparel with the correct placement, like you are a pro, of course, the ProPlace IQ, and it essentially eliminates all that. So it is just like the press that's here behind us with the dual layer fusion, one of the finest heat presses on the market today. Of course, it is a air powered machine that is almost effortless to use. And now coupled with, it does have the laser alignment system on it. The
Which ProPlace, has been very helpful up until this point.
Absolutely, yeah. But it still could cause some issues with misprints, obviously, like if you're hiring somebody in, getting them onto the job or doing any fulfillment where maybe there's personalization or any, like the graphics start changing, you know, you're doing single pieces and kind of print on demand fulfillment workflow where it's rapidly changing, where the IQ system, the ProPlace IQ, is going to essentially project the image at size in the location of where you're going to print it. So all you have to do and all you have to learn, whether you're just getting hired into a company or just getting started decorating, is essentially just loading the shirt straight. And so it simplifies so much, reduces the misprints. And with some technology coming down the pipeline with integrations, it is absolutely incredible, the capabilities of this machine. Now, the one here on the Hotronix Air Fusion does have the Fusion IQ brain in it. So it is a touchscreen interface on the machine, but it's also connected to what we call the Hotronix Cloud in the background. And so that is a cloud-based program. Any internet-connected device could utilize it. And so essentially, you're taking a PNG file, uploading into there, telling what print size it's going to be. I need a, you know, it's a 10 centimeter by 10 centimeter print. It's going to be just a you know, a small center chest, very tasteful that we see. Very similar kind of yours. Yours is a little bit bigger, but that smallish kind of print that's that you see almost in like athleisure too.
It's definitely more of a trend now, isn't it?
Corporate logo wear. So like something like that, you would just set the size and it's going to project it right there on the plat. And one of the things that we're working really hard on is the accuracy of it as well. So if you had a huge, like A4 size kind of print on the front of your shirt, that the placement's going to be much closer to the collar than if it was just a, you know, a single line of text. So having different images in there, there is a snap to location for both backs and fronts, left chests, some specialty locations, but mainly standard locations. And of course, depending on your specific garment or the sizing, you're able to just easily drag it and drop around the platen. And it does have every single Hotronix platen loaded in to the system. So whether you're using a tag along or a smaller size platen, the shoe platen, even like the hat bill platen, or any size
platen. Any of the 14 that we have.
Yep. Any of those are preloaded in there and able to essentially display the projection and know where the boundaries of the platen are. So it is like seeing so many people who have had struggles with bringing labor into their shop or looking for ways that they could simplify their workflow and it reduce misprints, eliminate mistakes. It's kind of this light bulb moment when they see it and you just place the logo to the light and it almost feels like magic. I think heat printing is a little bit of magic too, you know, but it really, really completes it and makes it look like it looks so easy because it truly is so simple and effortless.
Yeah. And I think you're right. I think everything that we do does just eliminate so many issues for people. And this is something that we've needed for a long time. And like you said, the lasers provided that kind of the element of placement. And they still are fantastic. If you still have the dual, you know, you set them up at the beginning of the shift, they work wonders. But there is something about seeing your design on the t-shirt where it needs to go and just being able to go, oh, that's it. And everything is done for you. So I think it is definitely going to change a lot of businesses. And I'm very excited to see everyone's faces when they witness it for the first time in the UK at the event at the weekend. So that's the first thing that we're going to be having on the stand. So if you are coming, I'd highly recommend I'm sure there's going to be a crowd around the ProPlace. So just jump in on that crowd, work your way to the front and have a go on the demo. And we will, of course, be doing a couple of other cool things as well. So our friends over at Audis, they have released a brand new pair of sliders. So we're going to teach you how to heat print those on the stand. So we're going to have the can cooler platen out on the stand. We're going to have some transfers made up, and we're going to be printing sliders that you can take home, take away and wear. And yeah, that's going to be really, really fun. So if you haven't already seen those, I look forward to showing them off to everyone. And while we've got the can cooler platen out, we are of course going to be doing can coolers. Do you call them can coolers or koozies? What do you call them in America? Are they koozies?
It depends if you're putting it in advertising or just talking conversationally, because koozies is a trademarked term. So we usually defer to can coolers.
Okay, that's good.
Like
that's
the whole Kleenex or tissue kind of thing, where like you could say like, oh, hand me a Kleenex, and somebody's going to understand what it is. But if you're going to say, oh, we sell Kleenex, and it's really not the brand.
I'm with you. Okay, so yeah. We'll stick with can coolers then. We are going to be printing can coolers on the stand, and that's going to be super fun as well. So, and of course, we've got t-shirts, we've got sweatshirts, we've got all of the normal stuff that you'd expect. So that is going to be really, really fun. And of course, we'll have the 360 hat press as well. So we'll be fusing some hats. Yeah, have I missed anything? I think that's kind of, I mean, that's a lot right there.
I think we need to talk a little bit about Ultracolor Max.
Do you want to talk about Ultracolor Max? Go for it. What do you want to tell the people?
So, of course, anybody in the decorating industry, whether you're just getting started or have been using heat applied products or even screen printing, even direct to garment, right? Direct to film transfers have kind of changed the game in the past couple years, 100%, really.
Yeah.
And so it really makes high quality decoration affordable, efficient, easy and simple, with essentially no barriers. There's no minimum quantities. It's a digital printing process that really is, from my experience in the apparel decorating industry, truly game changing, right? But there are a lot of misconceptions about what direct film is capable of. And there's some heated arguments I've even heard on it. But the one thing that I found matters the most is quality. And there's a lot of myths around it and misconceptions of how easy it is to get, or should I buy a printer? Should I buy custom? So we'll be talking a lot about it at the show, but to come see what I think is one of the highest quality, easy to order direct-to-film transfers on the market, which is Ultracolor Max, to feel it, to touch it, to fuse it. We'll have some examples at the show,
100%,
right?
You can fuse your own t-shirt with Ultracolor Max, take it away, take it, wash it, see exactly how long it lasts, how vibrant the colors stay, how long it adheres to the t-shirt, all of the above.
And how opaque it is. And so there's a lot of different things that I've seen with direct-to-film. I've been using direct-to-film for about 3 years from, almost the whole gambit of machines that are available. And some that I don't even know what machine or inks or film or carrier or whatever it was printed on. And so I've seen a lot of the issues, and I just the same as the experiences that I've seen with it, they are kind of make or break when you have some maybe poor quality on some of those images, where if you are a premium brand or you're just getting started and like one of those orders could be a lifetime customer or just a one-time order and they're going to go find another vendor. So to like ensure that you're going to have success down the road utilizing that print technology, and also when to use it, because especially like a lot of decorators just starting now see direct-to-film as this like one-size-fits-all transfer. And in many ways, it is very, very capable, but you could be leaving money on the table as there's other solutions out there. So kind of that, what to use when, what transfer type should I use for what artwork or what substrates we're printing on.
Or so, what quantities, that tends to be the biggest one that we get questions on at the moment.
Absolutely. So yeah, we'll be talking all about that at the show, but yeah, that's just kind of some thinking points to have in your mind, and maybe some questions you could form when you come to a show, to just be ready. You have a game plan, because it could be very overwhelming, like you mentioned, right when we started.
Exactly, yes. And to touch on direct-to-film printing, if you are interested in what Dave has just been talking about and learning more about direct-to-film, you can, of course, come and talk to us on the stand about it. We'll be more than happy to have those conversations with you. But I would also highly recommend going to Dave's talk. So you have a talk. Remind me of the times and days again, Beth. We'll get those, bear with. So we have a lot of talks across the Printer and Promotion Show. Dave has one on the direct-to-film transfers. Am I correct? What was the title of yours? The truth. Was it the truth about?
I think it's having success or success with DTF Deaf
Is
Panthers?
It DTF?
DTF success.
Thank you.
We go. I know it's, I made the presentation about
it. We're doing
it
the presentations. We don't know when we're doing them. Okay, so Dave has, thank you very much, Beth. Dave has got in the decoration advice suite on Sunday and Monday, you're doing the truth about decorating with DTF transfers. Mm-hmm. Tuesday, just so that you know, on Tuesday, you're doing the future of print on demand, which was the other one that we can get into talking about. So Sunday and Monday, 12 p.m. and 2 p.m., you can do the DTF talk with Dave. And I would highly recommend listening to that and sitting in on that discussion, because you will, of course, be able to come to the stand and ask questions. But I've seen Dave's presentation and there is so much valuable content in there that, you know, we'll talk about it on the stand, but you need to see the presentation. So that is on Sunday and Monday. And then do you want to talk a little bit about the future of print on demand talk that you're doing that's happening on the Tuesday?
Absolutely. Yeah. So with the rise of e-commerce, essentially, in this post-COVID world that we're living in, we saw this wave, you know, rising with, you know, the popularity of things like Amazon, and looking at the entire economy globally and really where risk is for brick and mortar. And of course, like reducing financial risk on yourself or opening up your sales opportunities is going to lead to more profit for you as a decorator. So looking at ways that the industry is evolving and looking at ways that you're able to integrate essentially e-commerce or selling apparel online to really funnel more work into your business from a variety of different customers. So the customers would benefit, the decorators themselves benefit, and then we'll get a sneak peek at some technology that's coming down the pipeline that I could not be more thrilled about as a decorator myself. Mm-hmm. You have to come to the show to see the rest of that.
Yeah, we're not giving any sneak peeks away on this talk. That Dave has got a talk every single day across print room promotion in the decoration advice suite. So head on over and check those out. I am doing a couple of talks. Where am I? There they are. In the Knowledge Center on Sunday and Monday. And I'm talking about how to market with no marketing department. So the purpose behind this one is basically not going over the basics of what is a post? What is a reel? How to schedule? Like, we're not doing that. We all know how to do that. We're going to be covering realistic and practical things that you can do for your business that don't take that long when it comes to a week or a month timeline, but they are practical things that you can implement that won't take that long and you will see results for your business. So we're going to be doing all of the things for the first 3, 6, and 9 months that you can cover for that. We are going to be doing a free social media planner, but you obviously have to come to the talk and stay till the end to get that. That's going to be super helpful to everyone that attends, just to give everyone that digestible, you know, where to start, what to do, what's actually going to be effective. Because I think it's really easy to, you know, when you're talking about social media, go, oh, I'll just post every day, but you're not thinking about what you're posting or who it's affecting or the purpose of the post. So that's what we're going to be covering during the marketing talk. So super, super valuable information if you're, regardless of whether you're just getting started or whether you're at the point where you're like, I'm posting on socials and I think I'm doing it right, but I'm not really seeing the engagement or I'm not really seeing the growth I expected. They're things that we're going to be covering. So that will be a super, super good one. So that's Sunday and Monday at 1:30 and 3:30. And then Andy has got a talk in the Sign and Digital Suite. So this year, Print Room Promotion and Sign and Digital are happening at the same time. They're just in the halls next to each other, so you can attend both, which is super helpful. And Andy's got a talk on Sunday and Monday, which is how to supply branded clothing to your customers and how to profit with branded clothing. He's got a panel on that as well. So again, another couple of really good talks for people that are producing, you know, signage and digital products, and they can break into the apparel decoration industry just with a couple of pieces of equipment, you know, just a heat press and some transfers. Mm-hmm. And you can take your digital signage business down a whole new route at a whole new profit margin. So yeah, they're pretty valuable. We're going to do those as well.
Yeah, adding capabilities to your business is huge. And there's so many decorators that I've connected with that have started from another form of printing. Mm-hmm. And signs, digital, large format printing, even like vehicle wrap companies, because they're a lot of business to business. And they'll ask like, well, you guys do t-shirts too? And I'm like, no, we have a partner. And like, we buy our t-shirts through this company and they might give a referral. But like, in a lot of cases, you're not making any commission on that, and you're leaving revenue opportunities on the table.
You are. And it's so easy to do. You should be saying yes to those jobs. So yeah Andy's going to teach you all about how to do that. I think that's everything we've covered. So we've covered what's on the stand. We've covered what's going to be new, what talks we're all doing. Of course, Dave is going to be there. We've also got Shauna with us, who is an expert on all things Hotronics, all things heat presses, and she will be with the new ProPlace IQ demoing that. So we've got some real expert heat printing brains on the stand this year, and I am so excited to meet you all. It's come around really quickly. I feel like for months we've been going, 2 months to go, Dave, like 3 months to go, and now it's like, oh, you're actually here. It's so exciting.
It is very exciting, and yeah, we've just been, you know, it's kind of been a whirlwind since, I feel like, October, but I know it's been even before then, where it's been Printing United and a lot of travel, because I've been visiting a lot of shops. We had some expos earlier this year, and of course, almost immediately following this one, I'm back in the United States in Atlantic City for one of the Impressions expos. So of course, traveling and connecting with decorators is something that I am very, very passionate about, and one of the things I enjoy the most. So of course, I love talking shop, regardless of what it is, but it does, it makes the days go by very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And here we are. So I've been looking forward to coming out and connecting with decorators overseas. When we did our global masterclass back in September, October,
around that
August,
time. Yeah.
Some one of those times.
Yeah. Autumn-ish.
But it was kind of eye-opening to see how decorators all over the world were facing the same challenges, and having a lot of shared success too. Mm-hmm. So like, I want to connect. Come connect. Tell me about your business. Of course, I'll ask questions to you and ask questions for me of how
Make
I can
you
help
think.
Out. Yes. Yeah. Try to stump me if you can.
we had a conversation pre this live. If anybody knows about the Transfer Express YouTube channel and the Styles TV, Dave does a lot of webinars, and they are rather long webinars because Dave, as you can imagine, is an expert at talking all things heat printing, and we'll just keep answering questions as long as we go, which is brilliant. But we have a bet on who can actually stump Dave with a question. So whether if you've got one in this video you want to throw our way, or you want to come and see us at the show, please somebody try, because I've never seen Dave stumped on a heat print question before. So
if I do get stumped, I will dedicate myself to finding the answer for you.
You'll have the most in-depth answer you've ever had before.
Now watch, I'll get stumped.
Brilliant. Do you want your phone back before we continue? Okay. Hey, Darren. So Darren is in the US. He's he's one of
Tune
your guys.
Nice. And I hope you're in Eastern time, because I think it's 7 a.m. maybe in the morning there. It's midday here.
Yes, it is. He joins every week for our live. So hello.
Howdy, howdy.
Okay, do we have any questions on the live before I jump into the ones that we were pre-sent in?
Not questions, just compliments.
Oh, okay. Do you want to chuck a few of them out?
Yes. I don't know if anyone can hear me.
That's all right. I'll repeat what you're saying.
ASAP Kidman saw one of our hot heat presses at a print shop. The owner said that it was working for 10 years and still works perfectly.
10 years and still going. I mean, we give lifetime warranties on the heating element because we're that confident that they're going to last. So it's been going for 10 years. You've got a fair few left to go.
I think there's a Hotronics machine in the Transfer Express building it's older than 10 years. I know that. It has to be probably an early 90s machine, and it is
still going strong.
It's like almost the preferred machine for a lot of people working.
It's the favorite, isn't it?
This is.
Do you feel a bit disloyal if you go and use one of the new ones? Like you're abandoning the trusty favorite?
No, not necessarily. It does feel a little bit retro though, because there's a keypad on it to like put in the time, temperature, and pressure.
Yeah.
And it is almost identical to like an old payphone keypad.
Brilliant.
So if you don't know what a payphone is, good for you. You still are very youthful.
We won't go there.
Darren's in Kansas, so it's 6 a.m.
6 a.m. Thank you for tuning in, Darren.
I appreciate you joining every week for the lives. Wow, that is impressive. I don't know why I always assumed. I mean, our midday lives aren't, obviously US is behind, so it's not always the best time, but we appreciate you making the effort. We really appreciate that. Right, shall we jump into some questions that we've been sent pre the live? So we jumped on Instagram stories yesterday and just asked everyone what they wanted to ask Dave while he was here and while we were doing this live. So without further ado, Dave, question number one. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Can color transfers be applied to cotton garments? Is there a fabric type that will work best for this?
So like color transfers as...
I'm assuming they're talking ultra about ultra direct color.
To film. Yeah. And absolutely, yes. It does depend on the specific transfer. So without knowing the specific transfer, I can't speak for certain.
Let's go with ultra color because I think that's probably the one that people use the most.
Yep. Ultra color max, the direct to film. Both of those could be absolutely used on a cotton garment. Cotton polyester, cotton poly blends are very, very safe with the adhesives that go on many, not all direct to film transfers. You could even get into spandex and Lycra. Mm-hmm. The stretch and elasticity of those inks is absolutely incredible. But cotton has always been like the easy to decorate fabric, mm-hmm. especially when it's not that heat sensitive.
Yeah, there's nothing extra added in there that's going to cause any marking, is there?
Yep. So, and you'll see a lot of cotton dominant garments as direct to garment kind of really became popular. And that was a drawback of that process was you weren't able to print on polyester. The ink just would not adhere. Now there are solutions nowadays that are able to do that, albeit a little bit expensive, which is why kind of direct film rose into that polyester, mm-hmm. easy to decorate market. But yeah, cotton garments, absolutely 100%.
Easy. Okay, so we have somebody that said, new business here. What would you recommend to grow my customer base right at the start of building my business? Firstly, congrats on starting your business.
Big thumbs up. I always defer to, so like I got into the printing industry because I was a designer. As I was in the design industry, I understood the customer and kind of moved into marketing and looked at that customer experience. But the first aspect of that is understand who you're selling to. And if you don't know who you're selling to, identify that. So I always tell people to find a niche, if it's a subset, because any messaging that you're going to put out there is going to be more relatable. So like the easiest way to think about this, if you're brand new to business, there are churches, mm-hmm. and there are heavy metal bands. There are two distinct audiences. And if you show a church a heavy metal band t-shirt, they're probably not going to want to work with you. If you show a heavy metal band a church t-shirt, some of them may still want to work with you. But for the most part, they're going to be attracted to where they see themselves. Mm-hmm. So understanding your customer is going to be the easiest way to start getting more customers in the door. And it's going to maximize your time. If you want to spend any advertising dollars, social media marketing is so easy to spend money on. And so many people all the years I've been marketing are so easy. And I see ads still every single day where it's like a shotgun blast of like, here's this wide audience. And it costs money every single person you're showing it to. So like the wider the audience, the more expensive it is. But if you're showing it to this wide audience that like it's not really relevant to them, you're just throwing money out into the wind. So you want to avoid doing that. Honing in on who is your target customer is really important, and it's going to help you really set up for better sales. It's going to help you set up your samples if you're going to go door to door, however you're going to be connecting with your customers, even if you're cold calling. You know what messaging to lead with. You know what their pain points are. You know, if you're going for nonprofits, you're probably looking for a lower cost, mm-hmm. versus if you are your target audience is a retail brand, you're going to bring some higher end samples that are going to make you stand out from the other vendors that they've been working with. So audience, first and foremost, if you don't have that figured out or decided or written down or targeted, first step always, and then you'll see the demand start to generate behind that.
Yeah, and I would follow that up definitely with, I completely agree with everything that Dave has just said. And I believe we do have more in-depth videos if you do want to look into how to market your business. I believe Andy and I did a podcast about it. It was probably about 6 months ago, but everything that we've said is still 100% relevant. So I'd 100% recommend going back and listening to that. But I would also follow up with making sure that once you know who you're selling to and you can pinpoint where they are or where best to, you know, locate them, is to look at what businesses are on your doorstep, right? So let's say you are doing fulfillment and you're supplying for other businesses, looking within a mile, 2 mile radius of what businesses you have within your, from your house or from your workshop or wherever it is you're working from, because you can probably start a good fill a good 2, 3, 4 days of, you know, business production work with just the business within a few miles of where you are. So localization is a massive one that I would always recommend, especially if you're just starting out and you want to make a bit of money on the side and it's not really a brand thing, it's just more of a fulfillment thing, then that's also something I would recommend. But it depends on your business type. So if you want to follow up with a follow-up to that question, then we can help you out even further. Okay, let's go in with, can I apply heat transfers with a Cricut press? I seem to be having issues with it not applying.
So depending on the Cricut press, I know there are several different kinds of Cricut presses, and I have used, I probably shouldn't say it, but I absolutely love the little mini press. So it is like, I didn't expect it to be anything other than like an iron, but especially if you get like mild scorching on polyester, you're able to like feather the edge out. Mm-hmm. We've even done some inside tags like on the fly and just rapidly. If you're doing a large quantity, it's a kind of a chore. But
have you tested the longevity of those?
So we did do some wash testing, and they do not hold up as well as, number one, I saw it on TikTok, mm-hmm. and I was like, I got to try it, right?
Yeah.
TikTok made me buy it. TikTok did make me buy it. And I was like, there's no way this works, right? There's no way there's enough pressure or anything. Like, it's not going to work. There's not enough heat. It's just a little tiny iron. And we were shocked that it worked almost as well as it did. Now, it did wear prematurely. Mm-hmm. But for something like an inside tag, that could be passable. That's okay, especially for the branding opportunity for you to get your name out there, right? Mm-hmm. But for like a left chest print or anything like outward facing, I do not recommend using a Cricut press. Now, there are some different models. The majority of the Cricut presses that I've seen on the market are the Easy Press. So just the...
I'd say we'll probably go with the fact that they're using a handheld.
The handheld ones. So the temperature on almost all Cricut machines that I've seen are 30 degrees Fahrenheit away. So mm-hmm. probably more like 10 to 15 Celsius. Mm-hmm. That would be the difference. So like that is a fairly large difference.
Yeah. That is quite a lot.
Yeah, for when you're applying. And we know if you're just getting started with heat printing, time, temperature, and pressure are the recipe. And I view them as a tripod, right? So time and temperature are a little bit more easily measurable mm-hmm. than pressure. But pressure is that hidden culprit that's going to, well, it's going to run into some issues when you're applying transfers. So I might put more pressure on it and think it's like a firm pressure. I might be able to put all of my body weight on it. And that's going to get a firmer pressure than, you know, somebody else might be able to do. So your time and temperature might be compensated for and be perfect. But if, especially with like high pressure transfers, hybrid transfers, the digital mm-hmm. screen print transfers, or even Plastisol screen printed transfers, you need a firm pressure because it needs to bond the fibers, the ink to the fibers of the shirt. Mm-hmm. And so that's where you might, when you peel, it might peel up.
Firm, not overpressured though. Don't start overpressuring because that's a whole other issue.
Yes. Which is why accurate pressure plays such a big role. And with a lot of heat presses, even, on the market, even clamshell styles mm-hmm. don't have pressure gauges. They have pressure adjustments, but they don't have pressure gauges to give you an accurate readout of what your pressure is.
So it's pure guesswork.
It is a lot of guesswork. It's by feel. Some transfer companies will be like, crank the press down until you can't close it and then back it off a little bit and then until it closes. And like, that's bordering on overpressure, and you mm-hmm. could even be damaging, not necessarily damaging, but on cotton fibers, you're kind of folding over the fibers and
scorched. You're just crushing them.
Yeah, you're giving a heat press box, especially with Plastisol transfers. With overpressure, you could even run into opacity issues where then now you're starting to see the texture of the shirt come through, or on darker colors, it's not as, say you're printing white on a black shirt, the white looks a little bit more gray mm-hmm. than like the vibrant, yeah. bright white that you want. So, and I've even seen too, so whether it be a manual, kind of just like the large, you know, kind of irons almost that mm-hmm. you put your own pressure on, and even the auto press that Cricut has as well. We noticed that the auto pressure was really only about a light pressure when it would come down. There was no way to adjust that other than building up the surface. So with
which is kind of hard to do because you don't always want to put, if you're just doing a t-shirt and not a thick sweatshirt, you're going to have to add excess pillows in every time, which is just making your process longer and reducing your profits. Yeah.
And even with the pillows, how they would kind of deflate when pressed, they weren't even providing enough pressure. So we'd have to put
like two or three
heat printing foam pads or We had some good luck with just like those blank sublimation mouse pads to be able to build the surface up. So it gave it a little bit more pressure. And then we were actually able to get a Plastisol transfer to apply. For heat transfer vinyl, you could get away with a lot lighter pressure. Mm-hmm. With the adhesives, they're not, you could print with a low to medium pressure, which is fantastic, especially with like polyesters, heat sensitive garments, the specialty fabrics.
They're a lot more forgiving, aren't they? Yeah.
They very much are. And that's really what those craft grade heat presses are designed for. They're not designed for quick, consistent production. And that's another aspect. If you're looking to be efficient and say decorate for an online store or your own brand, that you do need consistent, repeatable, and predictable results every single time. And when pressure's always a variable, like, oh, I worked out yesterday, so I'm not going to push that hard today.
Well,
that's
going to
make a huge difference.
That was going to be my next point. You said about putting all of your weight into the press for the pressure, but how can you be sure that you're doing that consistently every time, let alone every day when your strength changes from day to day? Or, you know, if you haven't slept as well the night before and you're a bit more tired and you think, oh, I can't really be bothered today, all of those t-shirts might not be any good and might fall off after a few washes.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's always important, time, temperature, and pressure as a tripod. If you take one of the legs away, it's going to fall over. So regardless of how accurate the other two are, it doesn't matter if you don't have accuracy in all three. So, and with clamshell presses, you could kind of take the guesswork out of it. We call it the you know, paper test, essentially, where you're going to put little pieces of paper in each corner of the press, mm-hmm. close the press, and depending on how easy they slide out or if they don't slide out at all, you kind of have a good idea of where your pressure is. So that's mm-hmm. a good way to like dial in your press. But then it does differ based on if you switch from printing on a t-shirt to printing on a sweatshirt or a fleece, where it's going to be a little bit thicker fabric. And then now you have to completely
redo
the
all of
process
that again.
Over.
See, that's why I love the digital pressure readout. And that's why I always push people that are, push is probably the wrong word, but strongly advise, if you are starting out and you're leaning towards the Max Press, I love the Max Press. It's great. It does what it needs to do. But I think having that pressure readout, if you can afford to just go to the auto open from the start, that is going to be the press that's going to see you through so many years of your business, not just the first 6 months or, you know, 12, 18 months. And then you go, I'm sick of testing my pressure every time this happens. I need to level up again. And you end up spending more money on another press. So if you can afford to just level up to that auto open, you'll pay it off quicker than you think. It's really not that expensive for a heat press, especially when you consider different things on the market.
Yeah.
We've got three questions coming.
Go for it. I will resume my list in a minute. Go for it.
On YouTube, Darren has asked, for multicolored designs, can styles do half tones and fades with Goof Proof?
Okay, so I'll just repeat that. For multicolored designs, can we do fades?
Yeah.
And
with
half
goof-proof.
Tones with Goof Proof. Okay. So Goof Proof being one of the transfer products that we carry at Transfer Express, it is our premier screen printed transfer.
Which for everyone in the UK is our 1-to-5 color screen printed Plastisol transfers. It's basically the same thing. Why don't we just call it the same name?
It really is. And being here in the UK and seeing the production that you guys have, it is so similar.
Yeah.
The way that we've brought the same solutions worldwide, mm-hmm. And shared a lot of ideas to make sure that we are leaders
consistent.
In innovation and consistent, yeah. Depending on what you're getting. But the Goof Proof transfers, you absolutely can do multicolor. So you could do, you guys say a 1-to-5 color, we say like a 1-to-3 or 4, because then it gets more cost effective to switch over to a hybrid or even a direct to film, depending on your quantity. But just with all screen printing, of course, the more colors you're adding in your art, the higher per piece mm-hmm. rate is, which is why it becomes more cost effective to be able to switch over to one of those full color transfers. But some people and some customers say, I want to screen print a shirt. And mm-hmm. so utilizing Goof Proof or a screen printed transfer is going to be the number one best way
yep.
to be able to match that quality and capabilities. And with halftones, so yes and no. Yes and no, you could do halftones. They do have to be stylized and ensure that each dot is more than the print minimum, which usually isn't an issue, but you want to make sure that they're spaced far enough apart that when you have a little bit of like this, the ink spreading when you press it, mm-hmm. so that dot will get slightly larger as you press it, that you want to make sure that it's not filling in the gaps, because then you're going to lose that halftone effect. And when you get really, really small in that minimum size, there just isn't enough ink or adhesive to be able to fully adhere to that shirt. It's going to apply. I can almost guarantee that it will stick to the fabric of the shirt. But when you start laundering it over and over and over again, that's why those minimums are in place, because we want to ensure that it's going to meet that durability standard that we set, that 50 wash try cycle that we've set out for almost all of our transfer types.
Mm-hmm. I can see Beth laughing. What's happening over there?
Darren came back with another comment. He said, I'm headed to the DAX show in Kansas City today, so I'll be seeing Kelly. I tried to stump you.
Oh, you so nearly did. Yeah. You so nearly did, Darren. Oh.
That's good. Say hi to Kelly for us. And yes, the DAX, the Decorated Apparel Expo show, is this weekend in Kansas City. And mm-hmm. we'll have a great team there from Stalls and Transfer Express. And be sure to stop by and say hi. I'm kind of bummed that I'm not going to be there.
Question two.
Go for it.
Marco says, will the PMP presentations be recorded?
Okay, so normally what we do at these trade shows is we either live stream or record our talks and post them at a later date. We are not going to be doing that this year. However, we will be utilizing the content of the presentations to make better quality videos for you in the future. So I would highly recommend going to the talks, like I always say, because you can ask questions there. You can talk to the other decorators. You can share all the feedback. The live experience is better than anything you can get. However, we will be recording separate videos with the files that we have prepared for the presentations, but there's no guarantee on when they will be coming out. So I know that we've recorded Dave's already, because Dave is only here for a limited amount of time, but myself and Andy's presentations we will sort of do over the coming months. So I would recommend going to the talks if you can. They're not that long. It's like half an hour, and yeah, I'd recommend just doing that. But we will be recording, hopefully in the future, some of them. I'm hoping that we can do like some podcasts with them. We can do some live videos. So we'll incorporate it into our content in the future for sure.
Third and final question, and this is also a compliment. Have the Kings of Heat Presses ever thought about a mug press?
I think about mug presses all the time.
It's not technically a garment, though.
It's not a garment, but I...
Is it an accessory? Would that class as an accessory? Because technically, like, a backpack is not a garment, but it's fabric.
It is. And of course, like, sublimation transfers are applied with a heat press, mm-hmm. right? So it does cross over into that heat applied technology realm. Mugs, tumblers, the sublimation on those has really taken off. We've seen even a lot of the dimensional emblems that we have from Stalls in the US, the Flex style, mm-hmm. being used as pressure sensitive. I have one on like a Yeti tumbler mm-hmm. that this sounds really bad for use for a very expensive Yeti tumbler, but essentially my daughter loves it to shovel water around in the bath. So it's literally been in the shower in the bathtub underwater, soaked for, it has to be a year and a half, and there's no signs of it coming off. So like, there are durable options that give elevated accessories. I haven't heard anything about a mug press.
No, if anything does come to light, we will of course be the first people to share it with all of you. But at the moment, no, we do not have any plans for mug presses coming out in the future, but we should probably mention it.
Yeah, I do love all those things, sublimation, where it's like you could do puzzles or the photo prints on like the metal panels that have that polyester coating on top
of
them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, oh, wow, they look so cool. I've done a few of them. Make sure you wear gloves. Those aluminum panels get crazy
hot.
So the same with mugs if you're doing anything like that. There are a few mug presses out on the market, and I've seen kind of the rise in the past couple of years too of convection ovens. So shrink wrap, you'll tape a sublimation design to a mug or a tumbler, and that allows you to not have to worry about like the pressure that you have to get, like where the handle is usually with a sublimation mm-hmm. mug. You're never able to print there. So if you cut it, you could almost wrap around the entire mug. Then you get a shrink wrap. You shrink wrap it prior to it going in the oven. You bake it for the appropriate time, allow it to cool down then, and you could peel the transfer off. And it reduces a lot of that ghosting and still allows you to get a premium sublimated mug print. So I would almost say that, you know, there's plenty of good mug presses out on the market. I've never used any of them personally, but I've heard from other decorators that use mm-hmm. them as accessories to be able to stock in the online stores too. So a great way to not have to buy a huge quantity up front with those, but no plans from what I've heard.
What's your favorite heat press, Dave?
It is no secret that my favorite heat press on this planet is the Hoptronics Auto Open Clamshell Press, the 16 by 20 version, mm-hmm. of course.
Which is what in English?
It is 40 by 50
correct.
Centimeters.
Correct. We're quizzing Dave ahead of PMP.
I will not be stumped here, okay?
We're trying.
I did a lot of studies on it, and there is the smaller version, which for us in the States is 11 by 11, and then there's an 11 by 15 version mm-hmm. as well. But the full size, so the largest size, is super important because it could take all of the interchangeable platens, mm-hmm. mainly the tag-along platen, which I love for just easy alignment. Number one, it's a platen that has a shoulder shape. And having worked on screen printing presses that have kind of like a triangular shape that center the collar, mm-hmm. makes it really easy, super simple and efficient to load a shirt on straight. So it's not twisted or anything. That neck shape even grabs it. But being able then to put inside branding and the front of a shirt, so you're decorating two print locations with just one impression or one close of the heat press, and it's just so super efficient. It auto opens by itself, and I am all one for reducing your risk, your financial investment up front. Now, of course, like printing on a manual machine like that, granted it is like closing the handle every single day, it's a lot of reaching, and if the press isn't on a caddy stand or the right height, it's a lot of back arching or like slouching. Yeah. And so after a long day of printing, yeah, you might want a more automatic press where something like the Air Fusions or the Dual Air Fusions really come in if you're pushing a ton of capacity. But I think for the majority of decorators that I've visited, a lot of the press operators, and realistically, I talk to so many small home-based businesses, or they're running out of a shop and they have like maybe a little showroom, but like their production area is the size of a small office where they don't have airlines. If you have those capabilities, absolutely get an automatic press and reduce the fatigue on yourself. But with the auto clam, especially just getting started, it is just foolproof that it is a Hoptronics heating element, edge to edge, even consistent heat. No bells and whistles, of course. The Fusion model does have the Hoptronics IQ system and the IQ Cloud, which is a great upgrade in the ability to swing. And some people tell me with the auto clam, like, well, you're under the heating element all the time. I use a lot of plastisol transfers or direct to film. If you're using vinyl or something, it might be a little bit uncomfortable to be in there, but the Hoptronics auto clam, just super efficient. You reduce steps because all of your touch points, you're not opening the press, you're not sliding a platen out, which might not matter if you're just doing a couple shirts here and there. But when you're doing a run of 200 shirts, which I've had my fair share of being able to do, mm-hmm. That it's just your, that's, you know, if you're reducing three steps per impression, 200 shirts, that's 500 steps essentially.
That's a
that
lot
you've
of extra time.
Completely eliminated from, or no, even more than 600, I don't know. I'm really bad at math. That's why I got into.
You get the point. You get the point. It's a lot of time.
It is hundreds of steps that you're eliminated then out of the entire, entire workflow, and extra steps, added efficiency, time is money, more money in your pocket.
Perfect. And yeah, we have the Auto Open is so popular, I think everywhere in the world, but we have so many people here in the UK that have it as well that absolutely love it. So we couldn't agree more. Okay, next question is, see you on Monday at PMP. Yay, we've got somebody that's coming to see us. What can I fuse on the stand? Oh, we did cover this at the beginning, but do you want a quick fire over through what we have got that people can print and take home on the stand this year?
Mm-hmm. I believe that we will have Ultra Color Max, right? Some t-shirts. We will have some slides. We will have some can coolers.
I can't do four.
will we be doing any headwear?
We will.
What am I forgetting?
That's pretty much it. Yeah, if we've got any hoodies or anything, if you guys have got hoodies you want to fuse onto, we can do that. But we'll have tons of t-shirts that you can fuse all the different types onto. So that's super cool. What's the next one? Are screen print transfers, aka goof proof in the US, as good as actual screen print? Now, this is the question that I wanted to ask you, Dave, because you are the goof proof man. So are screen print transfers better than actual screen print?
I wouldn't say better. I would say, well, subjectively better. Do you have the room for a screen room? A dark room, all of the chemicals, inks, emulsions, screens, squeegees, different durometers, different screen mesh. Are you using plastisol? Do you need chemicals then? Do you have all the chemicals to clean that out? Do you have a spray out booth where you're going to spray emulsion and ink all over the shower because that's the only place in your apartment that you could spray it out? And then you're going to have to clean it all up for the rest of the day. Or do you have like just an office that you want or a dorm room that we've even seen people like students be able to decorate quality apparel. It is such a close result that I have shown, like we did quite a few studies where we would actually contract out to screen print shops. I did a video where we used a contract screen printer with an automatic plastisol mm-hmm. press. I pulled a squeegee in the studio printing a shirt, as well as using a plastisol transfer. So we took those around and with some of our examples, we've shown screen printers and they're like, nah, they look screen printed. And when applied correctly, it will outlast the garment, that it behaves exactly like a screen print. And people will say like, well, plastisol transfers crack. Plastisol screen prints crack. I've bought shirts before I even washed them. The first time I put them on, the ink cracked. And I know it was direct screen printed because it had the rough texture of the off contact being too high. So as the screen springs back up, it makes all these little like ink wicks all over. And it feels like they call it cat tonguing because it feels like when you touch a cat's tongue, that the print's kind of rough, right? So that's completely eliminated. And you'll even see print shops, and some of the former print shops that I worked at would actually heat press every single screen print after printing to make it flatter and smoother and nice to the touch. So with screen printed transfers, you get that plastisol look, you get the plastisol feel. So the end result is almost identical, but better as in, do you have the investment and time to learn the entire process? Or do you just want to produce decorated apparel? Because like I still deep down inside of me absolutely love, I've been in the back here nerding out the entire time we've been here, super excited about the processes. And I think the first thing I said when I walked in the door was like, I smell plastisol, right?
Yeah.
So like, I very much love-
It's a very distinct smell.
I love, yeah, the smell of hot plastisol coming out of a dryer. I love it. It's probably terrible for me in the long run.
It's probably a good job we don't do it every day anymore.
So, but being able to, I love the process of it and it still is an art form. But I get asked to do decorated apparel, I don't want the hassle of it. I just can't, I don't have the bandwidth for it. I don't have the time to be burning screens. I don't have time to be reclaiming them, mm-hmm. maintaining them, ensuring the tension is correct. Or then the ink just gets goopy and it smears everywhere. And then now you're wasting garments. So like, that was one of the things, like that's the biggest expense, I think, to anybody in apparel decorating is the garment cost. It is very like, if you ruin a shirt or a hoodie, mm-hmm. that could be that's a lot of money now that you're out. And in a small run of shirts, say you're 12 to 18, 24 shirts, if you ruin two or three expensive garments, that could be your entire profit margin is now gone.
On replacing the two that you've,
Right. So with heat printing, you really reduce a lot of the chances of damaging garments. And with the tools and technology that we have, we empower decorators to be more successful than ever, eliminating those mistakes and misprints. Mm,
great advice. Okay, how would you recommend I stock my business when just starting out? I have 5 designs in total. So I'm assuming this question is alluding to the fact that does this decorator order, like print so many shirts and then ship them out when she gets the order? That's kind of what I read from that.
So that's a loaded question. Ooh, without knowing.
Are you stumped, Dave?
I'm not stumped. Oh, okay. I just have 9 different ways we could approach this and talk about this for the next 3 hours if you want to.
Right, let's go. Way number one.
So number one would be do not assume any risk upfront unless you already know demand is there. Mm-hmm. So one thing I recommend a lot, and in some clothing brands that I've worked with, see if demand is there first before you make any initial investment. Mock them up digitally. There are a lot of great tools online that allow you to mock up apparel, or if you know Photoshop, Illustrator, anything like that, mm-hmm. you can make some really convincing mock-ups for absolutely free, just an investment of your time. Put those online, see if there's demand for it, which is kind of what like one of the brands that I was working with started with. It was just kind of like sending it to friends and family in a text message to be like, hey, what do you think of this? Not knowing what it was. And people were like, I love that. Where could I buy it? Oh, well, I'll send you a link soon, right? So it's like, see if there's demand there first. And then in that case, then you move forward in several different ways. Now, if say you want to start up a web store and kind of be a little bit more anonymous, that's okay too. because then you need to make sure that you're at least getting traffic to your site. Mm-hmm. I want you to be profitable, right? So that's going to help you invest into more improvements into your business in the long run. And especially if you're doing a small business and just starting, you're probably wanting to make money, right? So reducing your first upfront investment, which is why a heat press is great. It is a minimal investment and minimal learning curve to be able to do that. But with that, I would caution against buying like bulk runs of transfers right up front and stocking a whole bunch of apparel to be able to turn quickly. I know Amazon's ruined e-commerce for us where everybody's like, well, no, I want it to show up next day. Mm-hmm. I want it to show up in 2 days. I pay for my Prime delivery, right? So like I want it to be able to show up quickly. But if you look at the apparel decorating as a whole, any online kind of print on demand workflows typically will say 3 to 5 days.
Yeah.
So you're able to, if an order comes in, and especially just a one piece product, you're retail pricing that. And it sounds like they have 5 designs already. So mock up all those 5 designs, see which ones perform the best. So if sales start coming in for one of them and it's a single color print, let's talk about minimizing the cost to maximize your profit. And you're going to move that to a screen printed transfer, right? Because if it's a single color image, in pretty much any quantity, over 10, right? Mm-hmm. So that you're able to do stock those transfers and be able to produce in-house. With the apparel, if you have 5 designs, I would, for the brands that I've worked with, startup like this, simplify, simplify, simplify. So don't stock 12 different colorways. Stock the popular colorways. So black t-shirts, navy, maybe a gray, mm-hmm. And possibly a white. So like, that's even too much. A lot of the brands that I've started up, it's like black, navy, you know, gray or a natural color.
1 to 3. Yeah.
1 to 3 colors. So if you do want to, because that's the same thing, transit and shipping fees for apparel. Yeah. It's kind of heavy. Those boxes, once you put 10, 15, 24, 48 t-shirts in a box, you're like, mm-hmm. Whoa,
I think
the t-shirts
are
heavy.
I think the thing as well is people don't often think about the sizes they have to stock. They think of the colors, but then you have to times that by 3, 4, or 5, depending on how many size variations you want to have in stock.
And then you're easily in $200, mm-hmm. quid, pounds here. But so you're,
quid, yeah, I love that.
You are in, you're in a deep financial investment upfront. And that is all risk if those styles don't sell. Mm-hmm. So like you might want to stock extra small through 2X, but you have those 3 extra small garments that you bought 2 years ago that still haven't sold. So it's like you could reduce the risk, especially if you have a supplier close to you, which is best case scenario. I know where I live, there's an apparel supply warehouse that I could drive maybe 2 hours to go pick it up and 2 hours back. So like, I'm not going to do that for one piece. But if you want to place those batch orders and with on-demand workflows these days, apparel suppliers are so quick to ship. So either put a pre-order up then. So put all your designs up for pre-order and then wait for a couple orders to come in and then you start fulfilling them or you fulfill on demand. But now direct-to-film.
That's actually a good point. Pre-order is a great way to do it.
Direct-to-film transfers allow you to print any color in any quantity where you could buy just one. And you'll kind of typically more have a lower price point for those minimum quantities than like a screen printed transfer would. So we just talked through a whole bunch of stuff. But to sum it up.
I think that's all totally relevant and really good advice. Yeah,
reduce the risk that you're going to put on your business. Don't make any financial investments. Get the demand generation first. Mm-hmm. So you're not putting your own money on the line. You're kind of leveraging your customers' money upfront. And 5 designs is perfect. Don't start with more than that until you start to kind of take stock of what's selling or what's not selling, because there's no point spending time and energy or even like purchasing transfers to stock if that style never sells. Like, and I being a designer myself, of course, am my own worst critic, but I usually like love my artwork more than anybody else. So it's mm-hmm. like, this is so cool. I love this. This
I've
is
got
rad.
10 designs. I'm going to print all of them.
Yes. Yeah. Pare it down. And so, yeah, one of the brands that we worked with and launched a line where it was, I think it started as 12 and the initial offering came down to 4.
Yeah.
So it was like
12 is too many, even for, you know, go on any retail store and look at the designs that they've got for their like printed athleisure, for example, there's never more than 2 or 3 different styles in a range of colors and sizes mm-hmm. when you think about it.
Yep. And it helps your customers with making the decision,
which is a very, very important one.
It's not that analysis paralysis where there's too many choices, so you don't make any choices. Mm-hmm. And keeping it simple also keeps it really simple for you on the back end to organize, to purchase garments and sizes.
Yeah.
Because sizes, yes, of course you need to consider them, and then even the transfers. So something like screen printed transfers we do with the Goofproof is like the gang sheeting, right? So like being able to put inside tags on there, or ordering inside tags with Direct-to-Foam as it might change size and you just want to do a very, very low quantity, that you could get away with that very, very early in, and have that retail look and feel and like, wow, this is a really nice brand. You're hang tagging the shirts and giving that really retail element, even though you're just starting. That's going to help build avid fans of your brand who are going to continuously come back time and time again to purchase.
Mm-hmm. All fantastic advice. I think that is brilliant. Okay, we've only got a few left. So if we do have any more on the live, make sure to get those in before we finish for today's session. Okay, what temperature? Oh, this is a good one for your UK quiz, Dave. What temperature do you apply heat transfers at? So let's go through the main or the only heat transfers that you need to be aware of. DTF.
145.
Screen print.
165.
No, you were right with 160.
160.
And ultracolor.
125.
Zero.
20. 120. I'm putting too many fives and everything, so I was close. 120 for ultracolor.
Yep.
160 for screen print.
Yep.
And 145.
Correct.
For direct to film.
Yes.
Boom.
Obviously, Dave does know what temperature to apply all the heat transfers at, but Fahrenheit and Celsius are very different. So don't take this quiz as a Dave doesn't know what he's talking about, because I think you all know that that's definitely not the case. Okay, cool. So now, yeah, there's
the great thing about Hottronics machines too, like the dual air fusion that we have here behind us. And I keep like, I just realized I keep motioning to the camera and you might be like completely covering it. I'm just reaching behind you.
There's a press
like,
behind us. If I lean this way, there's a heat press.
Yes. So the dual air fusion back there. I did, I'll put a TikTok out there of how easy it is to change between the two measurements of temperature. So it definitely is easy regardless of where you are in the world, or what makes sense the most to you.
And also while we're on that topic, we will question that in a second. While we're on that topic, I just want to mention that because we have such a range of temperatures, that means that you can decorate on such a wide variety of fabrics. So I know that we always talk about what to use and when being your order quantity and the amount of colors in your design and like the detail on the blends, etc. But when it comes to printing on more sensitive garments, having three different transfer temperature applications gives you the opportunity to go, I wanted to do this with a screen print, but you know, 160 is a bit too high for my sensitive garment. I'm going to drop that down to 145. If you're still having scorch mark problems, you could drop it down even further to 120. So there are so many different options available, plus the arch method, which we've spoken about a lot before. And there is a video on our YouTube page if you want to go and check it out for that. But there are so many options for you when printing different types of apparel. Mm-hmm. So we have a question.
How much does the dual air fusion IQ cost for people in Canada?
Stumped.
Oh, that's not the question I thought we were going to dump.
I could find that answer, but I am not sure. Shauna?
She is upstairs.
Shauna may know. I am not sure. We could reply to that comment immediately following this live, and I will get you the answer, but congratulations. That's a fantastic question.
That's honestly not the question that I thought was going to stump you. Mm-hmm. So it's not the same. US and Canada pricings aren't the same.
There is, the pricing is similar, but Canadian dollars are different than United States dollars.
Of and course, okay.
I've been so focused on the conversion between American dollars and pounds that
Canada didn't even come into it. Mm-hmm. That was brilliant.
And the same person has asked, where can they watch this live?
This live will be on YouTube, on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and on Instagram forevermore, so you can watch it back. And I am also going to upload the audio file of this live as a podcast to Spotify, Apple, and any other platform that you listen to your audio on. So you can literally get it anywhere, because I think this is a really valuable Q&A that I am going to milk because it's got so much good information on it. So we're going to put it everywhere. But yeah, you can check it back under YouTube under the live tab and it will be on there. Just look for Dave's face on the thumbnail. Okay, we've got a couple more. What do you advise? Oh, this kind of leads in from what we were just talking about. What do you advise to print on polyester garments?
Depending on how many colors in your design.
Mm-hmm. for argument's sake, let's say it's a multicolor design.
Direct to film or ultra color would be the best, depending on how heat sensitive it is. There are a lot of polyester. So when I first started printing, even 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, polyester was a little bit more heat resistant. Mm-hmm. And like we used to be able to put our goof-proof screen printed transfers that applied at 365 degrees Fahrenheit. Like that's hot.
That's a lot. Right?
Yeah. So like that, and it wouldn't scorch polyester at all. You see a lot of it's lower cost polyester being made that's a little bit more heat sensitive, as well as recycled polys from like, I mean, it's great. Absolutely love it that we're taking water bottles out of landfills or ending up elsewhere in the world and reusing them to essentially make a polyester fiber yarn that is woven into t-shirts. So absolutely fantastic. And knowing just how much like apparel waste there is in the world too, knowing that the, you know, that we're able to start minimizing the impact otherwise in the manufacturing process that could produce some harmful chemicals, but actually towards some facilities that manufacture t-shirts, and they do a really good job of being good stewards to the earth. Yes, but polyester is more heat sensitive than ever right now. So I always recommend testing before you even maybe even purchase transfers. Get the garment in, put it on the heat press, see if there is any damage. And there is damage. There's of course difference between like matting the fibers and actually scorching them. Mm-hmm. Or if it's like a cotton poly blend, you may see some of the cotton content release the moisture and it'll change color. So then like it looks like it's scorched, but if you leave it on a table for 10, 15 minutes, the moisture from the air reabsorbs back into the shirt and
it disappears.
It's gone, mm-hmm. right?
It's that I feel like that's with red garments in particular. That's always a really scary one because we've done it with sweatshirts before where we've pressed it down and gone, oh my God, that's completely scorched. And then come back the next day and it's fine. And it's like, how is that possible? But sometimes it looks so much worse than it is.
Yep. And it's inconsistent too with like cotton because it'll happen reds and maroons and any of like really heavily dyed.
Yeah.
You see the difference in color a lot. And sometimes it's lighter, sometimes it's darker depending on the color. So like when you do a black like heavy cotton shirt mm-hmm. and you get the moisture out of it, it almost turns like a lighter gray. And it's like,
yeah,
oh my God, what did I do? It's scorched, but it's really not. So test your polyester garment, see what temperature that it isn't getting any bruising, let's say is like the maybe overpressure or scorching at. And then you're going to be completely fine to use a transfer that applies at that temperature. So yeah, and even I will say, turn your shirt inside out and press just the corner down here, like on a side seam. Because then if it does scorch it, you know, okay, let me reduce the temperature and you could try it again. And you could still sell that t-shirt then. Mm-hmm. So it's not a huge, not completely ruining a t-shirt and then having to write that off and take that loss as a decorator yourself.
Yeah. Great advice. Do we have any further questions on the live? Perfect. Okay, in that case then, that is it from the list of questions that I had. I just want to say a massive thank you to Dave for joining me on today's live.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. I love having you on our podcast, our lives, anything we do content-wise is so much fun. If you have not already got your tickets for Print Room promotion this Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, hit the link in the description or in the comments. I'm assuming it will probably be in there. It is. Thank you, Beth. Go and get your tickets for that. They are free. Make sure you sign up for your free sample pack as well. So come to the stand, grab your free transfers. We're including one of every transfer type in there so you can trial and error all of the different garments that you have got before making your order, which is just fantastic. And there's going to be so much cool stuff going on. So we really hope to see you there. So you can get your free tickets for that. It's not too late. And also, if you can't make it to Print Room promotion, make sure to do the usual and like and subscribe on whichever platform you're watching on, because we'll be back. We are not doing a live next Friday because obviously it is Print Room promotion this week. So we won't be here. But we will be back the following Friday with another live. So we'll see you then. Thank you, Dave, for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll be back very soon with another live. Thanks, everyone.